Hi. How are we? Good. Good to see you all. I love your new building. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. It's great. Man. Well, we've been here before, but not here when you were in the community center. We were there. And this is better. Given the choices, this is good. Well, we've been praying for you. My name is Bob Brown. My wife's Joanne. And we're from Slidell, Louisiana, which is a bedroom community in New Orleans. Who said that's your neck of the woods? Who was that? Where are you from?
New Orleans.
New Orleans. Did you happen to leave in like 2005? It's amazing. There was a lot of people moved that year. I'll tell you, when that lady came to town, everybody left. She was no lady. Where did you live in New Orleans? Oh, yeah. Okay. Enough said. Well, we'll talk. We've met New Orleans people all over the country. We met New Orleans people in Canada. When Katrina came to town, it blew our people all over creation. And for New Orleans, this if you're not a New Orleanian, it's maybe a little hard to understand. But New Orleans is like a big city made up of little communities. And people didn't move. You might live New Orleans East, particularly Chalmette and New Orleans East. Generations lived there. You might have a block, and the children and the parents and the grandparents and the great grandparents might all live on a block or two. And it's that kind of a town. And so when they were dispersed, It's just beyond description. It was a painful surgical operation. So, but they're nice people, most of them. I'll talk to the rest of you about. Most of them were pretty nice. So. Well, anyway, it's good to see you. Good to see you, and you're doing okay. Good. Folks, we're praying for us also. We've known the Dunlaps for more years than we want to admit, but been good friends or good folks, and we pray for you folks here through the process of getting your building. We think that's just a huge, the single biggest thing that we did for our meeting was buying a building, because it's like a stake in the ground that says we're here, and you know. Before we had a building, we started with a little Bible study in the home, and if we decided we wanted to go somewhere, we'd just go somewhere, you know. But when you have a building, somebody's got to be there, and there's got to be meetings and some place for visitors to come, and it moves you on to a new level. And yours is much nicer. The one that we started with was not nearly as nice as this. This is really very pretty, very nice. So we've been praying for you. And then we understand that you all were praying for us, our little school. We operate, Slidell Bible Chapel operates a daycare, Lollipop Ranch Christian Preschool and Daycare, which Joanne is the director. And we also operate a little Christian school, Slidell Christian Academy. And I was the principal. Now I'm the principal emeritus. And I'm not sure how they spell that. See, if you spell it with an emeritus, it means you're with merit. If you spell it ameritus, it means you got no merit whatsoever. So they haven't told me how they spell it. So, but anyway, I'm the old principal. We have a new principal now. And we really appreciate your prayers for us and the gifts that you sent for the help of the school. These folks can tell you we in the Katrina, we lost half of our population, both New Orleans and Slidell. So we were 47,000 before the storm. We're about 22,000 now. And so, businesses, you're trying to keep the same businesses going with half the clients and half the workers, and churches with half the people, and daycares and schools with half the people, and all those kinds of things. So, and you can't just, people say, well, I don't know why anybody would live there. Well, it's where you live, you know. So anyway, so trying to keep all that going has been a kind of a challenge just to keep it alive. So to have you folks praying for us has been a real blessing, and your gift was very useful, and so we appreciate you all very much. Open your Bibles, if you would. We'll just take a quick look at a little passage that means a lot to me. Matthew chapter 7. We're at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And here you can focus on the Sermon on the Mount. It's not the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus is telling folks, it's a kind of a misnomer. If you ever get a chance to go to Israel, go. Because it's everything is different. You know, you read the Bible and you get pictures in your mind of what this is like, and you know, and nothing is like you have it pictured in your mind. It'll destroy all your pictures in your mind and then give you new ones to go by. So if you ever get a chance to go, it's really worth it. Some folks made it possible for Joanne and I to go in 2000, and when they talk about a mountain in Israel, with only a couple exceptions, there aren't mountains. It would be a hill. And this particular place, nobody knows exactly where it is, but we went to a place where it could have been. All the places that have been claimed, they've built churches and charge you admission, and you know, the church is the Sermon on the Mount is there. So, but there, this where we went was a kind of a little hillside coming up from the Sea of Galilee, and there are some of these places, but it's kind of like an amphitheater. The way the place is built, you can sit on the hillside, and someone down near the lake can talk in a very low voice, and you can hear them. And so it could have been that place or a place like that, where the Lord Jesus is speaking to just a couple people, and the crowd grows, and pretty soon he's speaking to a multitude. And he's telling them what the kingdom will be like. And, you know, the kingdom's kind of a couple aspects. There's the kingdom to come, which is a physical kingdom, and then the kingdom that's today. It's an invisible kingdom. And he gives them what it's like. And as he gets to the end, he gives them some warnings. And I think these are particularly applicable for you and me today. In verse 13, Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 13, he talks about two gates and two ways, two destinations and two crowds. Enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in that way. Because narrow is the gate and hard is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. If you were the devil, you want people to go to hell. You don't want them to get saved. You don't want them to end up in heaven. You don't want them to be Christians. You want them to go to hell. You want followers for you. And so if you were designing things in this world, you'd have this great big gate that says, this way to heaven. And there'd be this smooth road, and it'd be an easy go. And there'd be a bunch of people going down that. And the devil would love it. I think it'd have a banner over it, you know, this way to heaven. And you get down that road, and whoa, this isn't what we expected. And the Lord Jesus says, listen, you folks, be careful, Because there's just these two roads. There's the right way and the wrong way. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Right? The ways of a fool seem right in his own eyes, right? This wide gate, broad road, easy path leads to destruction. And the Lord is saying to him, as he gets to the end of his talk with him, he's told him about the kingdom, but now he said, now be careful. Be careful. And then he moves on, verse 15, not only be careful about these paths, but be careful about the preachers, because there's false prophets. And you know, a false prophet isn't going to get up there and have a sign around his neck that says, don't listen to me, I'm a false prophet. He's going to look good, sound good, probably smile a lot, say nice, happy things to make you feel good. And the Lord said, be careful. Be careful. Just like the roads, you know, he's not going to have a sign that says, don't listen to me, I'm a false prophet. It's going to sound good. And people like to have their ears tickled. They want to feel good. And, you know, even the disciples said to the Lord Jesus, this is a hard saying. You know, he said, you know, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you've got no part in me. And they said, whoa, this is a hard saying. And it said that a number of them left. You know, I wish the preacher could say Christianity's a broad, easy road, right? And you'd draw a lot of people if that was your message. You might even fill a football stadium or more. But the truth is, it's tough to be a Christian. In a world that wants to do wrong, it's tough to want to do right. If you're a parent, you know this, right? The whole world is working at getting your kid to go down the wrong road, and you sometimes feel like the lone whistle in the wind. And the Lord said, listen, as much as you be careful about the two ways, you be careful about who you listen to, because there's false prophets. Look at verse 16. You'll know them by their fruits. Don't go by what they say. Go by what they do. Don't go by what you hear. Go by what you see in their lives. Does their life bear out their message? And then, so he gives them a warning about the paths. He gives them a warning about the prophets. And then in verse 21, I'll have to tell you, this is, I think, the scariest passage in the Bible. And it makes me weep. It doesn't take a lot to make me weep. I'm sorry, but this makes me weep. Verse 21, Matthew 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. What's the next word? But if you're around me much, you'll have a red pencil and you'll circle all the buts in your Bible. But, this is like Paul Harvey says, here's the rest of the story, right? Or here's the other side of the coin. Not everyone that says, right? Don't pay attention. He just finished telling us, don't pay attention to what they say. Watch for their fruits. Watch what they do. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father who's in heaven. You and I need to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. You know, the church isn't about what we get out of it. The church is about what we put into it. Many, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out demons? And in thy name done many wonderful works? It's interesting to me the things he picks to record here, because they're really pertinent today in the world we live in. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. This is a really scary verse, isn't it? This is people who are standing at the door to heaven, And they expect to get in. They've lived their life as religious people. They've cast out demons. They've done many wonderful things in the name of the Lord. It wasn't some false deal. They're doing it in the name of the Lord. And they show up at the gates to heaven, and they're ready to go in. Hey, this is great. My life is done. I'm going to heaven. And they get to the gate, and the Lord says, who are you? Oh, don't you remember me? I'm the guy that did all that religious stuff down in the church. You don't look familiar to me. Just a second, let me check the book. Johnson? Jim Johnson? You're not in the book. Notice he said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. All of these religious works were of no value whatsoever because they weren't really Christ's work. They were just works of the flesh. I think it's a scary thing when you talk to people. I do the same thing all the time. I'd ask you, a friend of mine in the Navy, I was 32 years old when I got saved. I was born in South St. Paul, Minnesota. In 1944, the world was at war. It was a record cold winter, and a young lady found herself with child. And during the war, this was not something that you needed. And so I began my life in an orphanage in South St. Paul. And I stayed in the orphanage for about a year and a half until a couple came from Minneapolis, and they bought me for $55.50. What do you think? I think I'm a bargain. I'd be a bargain today, $55.50. You can't buy hardly anything. Can't buy a car, let alone a kid. And I was a religious kid. I grew up in the church. I was an altar boy, a choir boy. The church we went to, my parents started as a Bible study. It grew into the largest church of its denomination in the country, which it still is today. And I never heard the gospel. Our preacher had breakfast in the White House. He preached to us out of a manila envelope. He had lots of stories. He was a good preacher. I enjoyed it. Didn't get saved. Never knew I had to get saved. Never heard the word saved or born again, to my knowledge. When I was 32 years old, Vietnam was prospering. And a fellow that I flew helicopters with asked me this question. And I'll ask you this question. Bob, he said, have you gotten to a point in your spiritual life where you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And I said, I don't know if anybody can know that for sure. He said, well, let me ask you another question. And I'll ask you this. Let's say you did die today. You walk out here, and instead of taking the beautiful ramp that you have, you decide to take a shortcut, and you trip and fall down, hit your head on the concrete, and like that, you're standing before God. And Jesus says to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Think about this. I ask those two questions thousands of times. Thousands of times. And you know how many answers I get that are right? About that many. One lady, she answered the first one. She said, oh, I know I'm going to heaven. I said, really? Tell me. Let's say you die today, showed up the gates of heaven. And Jesus said, why should I let you in? What would you say? She said, oh, she said, it was wonderful. We had a revival at our church. And she said, you know what? The last night of the revival, I went forward and they shook my hand, welcomed me. I joined the church. I've been teaching Sunday school ever since. You hear any salvation in there? Jesus isn't in that story anywhere. The blood, the cross. You hear it in there? I didn't hear a thing. Many there'll be in that day who will say to me, Lord, Lord, remember that revival where I got saved? Remember when I went forward? Remember they baptized me? They joined me to the church? I taught Sunday school? Remember me? And I think with tears in his eyes, he'll look at her and say, you know, I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. Well, I thank the Lord for my little buddy on the helicopter. A sailor can lead another sailor to Christ. You don't need preachers or priests or anything else. You need people who love people. Many there'll be in that day. It's a scary verse to me because most of the people I talk to will be those people. And when you're trying to reach them, it's kind of like trying to bail the ocean with a teacup, you know? We got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do. And you're competing up against the entertainment industry in the church because people don't go to hear the Word of God. They go to be entertained and to go out and feel good. Oh, but I feel so good. You know, the singing is so... We had a person that left our chapel and went to I won't even say what it was. It was a church that's about theologically as far as you could get from us. And I said, hello, what are you thinking? Oh, she said, but I like the music. Oh, well, you won't come to Slidell Bible Chapel and you won't go away saying I like the music. I'm sorry, I wish you could, but you guys really sing good, by the way. We don't sing so well. And when she shows up at the gates of heaven, maybe the Lord will say, well, how was the music? Well, the music was great. No music where you're going. It's a sad place. Many there'll be in that day. That's the saddest scripture in the Bible. What's the next word? Verse 24, first word. Therefore. Whenever you see a therefore or wherefore, you ought to wonder what it's there for, right? If you walked in, And I said to you, or no, and you came into the middle of a conversation and I just said, and Joanne, I'm going to smack you in the mouth, you'd say, why is he saying that, right? Therefore, why is he saying that? It relates back to what's been. Well, he's just been giving these warnings. Enter at the narrow gate. Beware of the false prophets. Not everybody says to me he's going to end up in heaven. Therefore, here's the key to it all. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and what? Does them. I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man who dug down, he built his house on a rock. And the rains came down and the wind swept across and the floods came up. And the rock stood, or the house stood solid because it was founded on a rock. But there's another man. Verse 26. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them not, like a foolish man. Build his house in the sand. The rains came, floods came, winds, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It's talking about yours and my lives, isn't it? It's not just about houses, it's about lives. And if you build your life on obedience to the Lord, this is a great gospel passage. You can use it for gospel, that's a good application, but it's not a gospel passage, is it? It's an obedience passage. Pay attention to the Word of God. Build your life on that. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, tuck under the authority of your husbands. Parents, lead your kids. Kids, obey your parents. There's a whole set of principles, right? And if we obey the principles, we're building our house, our lives, on a rock. And it'll stand. It'll stand. May the Lord bless us. Father, thank you for your Word. Help us, Lord. Easy to talk about being a doer, hard to do. And so we just pray that you'd help us be doers of the Word. Take it in. Have it find rich, fertile ground in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit over.